Thank you for your welcome. It's really good to be here again. I think the last time I was here was by video, and that was when we were all in complete lockdown. And I provided a few minutes of a summary about life at KCV. And I'll talk about KCV a little later. But it is good to be here, and I'll bring you the warmest greetings from the team of Global Mission Partners and from folk at KCV. So the theme is about bringing change together. When it comes to the question of mission, the assumption is that God wants us to engage in ways where change happens. That, in a sense, God has a vision for something more than what the reality is right now. You do this locally, and we, with your support, do this in a broader way in Australia and overseas. Now, I want to introduce you to some of the faces of GMP. This is a video. We're having a few experiments this morning, and I'm feeling quite confident that we're going to get there. So these are some of the people of KCV, of GMP, from India, South Sudan, from Dayton, from Fiji, from Zimbabwe, again back at Dayton, Dayton, India. Many places, many faces. 130 years of history with GMP partnering across nations. In India, in PNG, I can't speak fast enough. Three programs, Church Partnerships, Relief and Development and Indigenous Ministries. These are all our partners, church partners. All sorts of settings. Energetic worship in Zimbabwe, Fiji also, back in Zimbabwe, again, Indonesia, relief and development programs in South Sudan, in India, in Vanuatu, South Sudan, India. South Sudan, in Bangladesh, fresh water in Zimbabwe and in Vanuatu. Making a difference in the lives of people. Indigenous ministries across Australia, Perth. These are the people of GMP. They're the people of your church in mission. Dayton. Together making the ministry of GMP possible. Now, sometimes, you know, when people hear that a mission speaker is coming, they think that the main theme for a mission speaker is about the empty bucket. Now, I've bought an empty bucket and it's your job to fill it up with money. That the main interest of a mission speaker in a congregation is how you give. There's also a truth that sometimes the bucket question is about what experience can we give you? Now, I know. A couple of people from here have been to KCV and had that rich experience of being there. But sometimes that's what people are mainly interested in. Where can I go? What partner can I go and see for myself? Well, that's not really mission. And just about money's not really mission. So we've got an invitation. We can have the next slide, please. We're not tracking over. There we go. Why not tip the buckets upside down for a moment? In a sense, empty them. Empty the expectations of cash and empty the expectations of personal experience and do some listening to our neighbour. One of the goals of GMP is to place our buckets upside down, to place them upside down wherever our partners are and to listen to them. The reason that video is important to me is I see the people we listen to. We don't do any remote planning of what people can do for themselves. We partner with them. And we believe that this is a deep biblical principle. Sitting down beside our neighbor and listening is at the heart of mission. It's not advice giving. It's not planning remotely. It's actually one of the distinctive things about the ministry of Jesus, his capacity to listen. And I want to reflect with you for a few minutes about the walk to Emmaus. Now, you know the story really well. We're slightly outside the season when we think about the walk to Emmaus, but bear with me. Two travelers, they're going downhill from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're debriefing. They're talking about everything that has happened on the way. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, wandering along, trying to make sense of everything. Now, when I go for a walk with someone, with my wife, and we're talking, I don't know if you've noticed what happens to the pace of your walk, but it slows down. If I'm walking fast, start to breathe fast, and the last thing I can do is to talk. In other words, I start to walk slowly. Well, I think these two were walking quite slowly because they were quite intense in their walking. And Jesus comes along walking on his own and catches up to them. Now, that's very human, isn't it? You're walking by yourself, no one to talk to. You tend to walk at your own pace. And he catches up to them and he interrupts them. And he says, oh, you know, why? What are you talking about? Why are you walking so slowly? What are you talking about? And in Luke, In a way that, you know, Luke's a wonderful writer because he uses words to capture attention. He says, they stood still looking sad. They stood still looking sad. And then the conversation began. It didn't begin with walking. It actually began, in a sense, with the buckets upside down on the road, sitting still and listening to each other. Now, the remarkable thing about the conversation is what Jesus does with them, because they basically say to Jesus, what planet have you been on? Are you the only person who doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem? And Jesus could have, think about what Jesus could have said at that moment. What planet were you on? It's about me. Now, I know because I went through it and I'm risen. He actually listens to them. He doesn't take over the story. He doesn't interrupt them. In fact, if you remember, he goes back into all the prophets and starts to teach them everything, to explain the background to what's happened. And at no point does he say, and by the way, it's about me. He just stays present with them in their ability to understand. And I think they're standing still for most of that conversation, if not all of it. Now, I suggest you try it. Try and have a deep conversation and keep walking. For one, it's almost impossible to listen. For two, to think that deeply as Jesus does, it's almost impossible to walk. But you've got this powerful encounter between Jesus and the two travelers, and we know that they start walking again because they get to Emmaus. And Jesus goes on. Now he starts walking on, and they beg him to stay. And they probably ask two or three times. And it's not because Jesus is a bit resistant or doesn't want to spend any more time with them. It's really because what you've got there is a snapshot of how Middle Eastern hospitality works. No, it's not a case of, would you like to have dinner with us? And the person says, no. Oh, if you don't mind, we're going to eat. No, that's the Aussie way. The Middle Eastern way is to say, please stay. And the person says in the culture, oh, no, I'm fine, thank you. Would you please stay? No, look, I don't want to trouble you. Would you please stay? Oh, well, if you insist. So you've got this contract that's going on, and so Jesus stays. And we know what happens, don't we? He's sitting at the table. We're going to be doing that in a few minutes. He's sitting at the table. And at that point, he becomes known to them in the breaking of bread. Again, the most beautiful set of words used by Luke to describe the sacredness and the significance of that moment. And they realize it's Jesus. And they realize what was happening in their hearts while they're listening. Weren't our hearts burning, they say. There was an emotional response that they, in their anxiety, were not even aware of in that moment. And they realize it's him, and Jesus disappears, and they decide to return to Jerusalem. And you know what they do? They run back. You've got this story of two walks, a walk and a run, a slow walk and a run, a 9-kilometer run uphill. Not something I would welcome having to do just quietly. And they find the disciples and they hear the stories of the disciples. He's risen. He's appeared to Peter. He's appeared to the women. And they say, and he's appeared to us. Now, all of this hinges on Jesus listening to them. It doesn't actually hinge on Jesus being smart or clever. The challenge of listening is the challenge of stopping still and deeply listening to the other and suspending, this is very difficult for me, two things. One is we have an ability to take over the other's story. Oh, look, if you really understood what was going on, then this would have happened. And by the way, when I saw it, this is what I thought of. In other words, we don't actually respect another person's uncertainties. So one of the things that happens is we take over their story and place ourselves in it. The second is that we cut them off. I'm good at this. We cut them off and give the answer. Jesus does neither of those things. It's such an example of what mission means. See, a long, slow walk is much more realistic about life, isn't it? Think about our own journey with Jesus personally. Mine's been a long, slow walk, not a quick sprint. I haven't understood everything all at once. I keep discovering what I don't know and what I do know. A long, slow walk is actually a more consistent walk. There's an endurance thing about a long, slow relationship with Jesus, inviting Jesus into a lifelong journey with us. It's actually countercultural in our world. Now, the instant in our world is just speeding up. I don't know about you, but my goodness, time goes by fast and we cram more and more in and the expectations are greater and a slow walk is against that pattern. A slow walk creates space for reflection and understanding. A slow walk is honoring of relationships. Think about how Jesus honored Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas. He honored them by his listening. And it's how God travels with us. Imagine if God wasn't patient. Don't know about you, with me. Oh, I've had enough of Gilmore. That's it. Gone. How God travels with us. Well, GMP's partners, we try to, a little bit of background, quick background. I did a secular program on development and I was given a mentor who wasn't, I still don't know whether she was Christian or not. I didn't ask that question. It was run by the Australian Council for International Development. And was on the theme of partnership. That's why I went. And she said to me, so John, what is your biblical metaphor for partnership? Well, there's a good question. I said, well, I'm not quite sure. There's various ways. She suggested to go away and have a look at it. Now, sometimes the voice of the Lord comes through a stranger, isn't it? And that's where I came to Emmaus. And this sense of a long journey. You know, GMP's partners, all our partners are two-way partnerships with shared values and faith. We partner with Christian organizations, with people who know us. We have ongoing input and see them growing in strength. You know, for 2.5 years, we've not been able to travel. We're the same as everyone else. And some of our partners have been used to 2 visits a year because there's high value in the work they're doing. And we put a lot of work in on mentoring and guiding. And for two and a half years, nothing. Oh, we've learned WhatsApp. We've learned about Viber and Zoom and Microsoft Teams and you name it. And every one of our partners, Facebook Messenger, every one of our partners wanted a different way to talk to us, a different piece of technology. And it wasn't us saying we only talk on Zoom. We had to learn how to do all the other and pay attention to all the accounts as messages came in. What we've seen is our partners grow in strength and capacity. What we're doing is really looking forward to having contact with them again. All our partners are local. Our partners lead us with ideas. We work with them so that they want can happen. One of the challenges in the way many agencies work in Australia is that they say, we're going to specialise in water health and sanitation, and they literally go looking for projects that they can do. Well, we do water health and sanitation. Safe Water September's coming up in guess which month. And we work with our partners on water projects. Who comes up with the idea? Our partners do. Vanuatu, because of the volcanic eruption a few years ago and the contamination of tanks and water supplies, we're working with them. Bangladesh on sanitation, where there's no sanitation services, working with them in sanitation, and Zimbabwe in the provision of clean water. So here are our partners: Zimbabwe, South Sudan, India, Bangladesh, Thailand, Vietnam, the Philippines, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Vanuatu, Fiji. The one in the middle of the ocean isn't an island no one's heard about. It's a sign that we also respond to emergencies. $100,000 given to Ukraine. That's been a wonderful gift. And that's gone through a church agency, through Hungarian Interchurch Aid. Whenever we respond to an international emergency, we do that through Christian partners we trust. And they're provided for us through what's called the Action by Churches Together Alliance, ACT Alliance, the largest network of aid and development and humanitarian response agencies in the world. So let me introduce you. Here's KCB. And this is brand new, June. We've just had our first visit to KCB for a couple of years. So we've got food, beans growing well, and I want to tell you the story of Gift, and I'm going to do it in his own words rather than summarising it. So, and I'm going to be up front. Someone here might be able to say his surname, but I can't. So I'm just going to call him Gift. My name is Gift. I'm 19 years of age, and I'm doing a course in welding at college, also doing my Form 3 at a formal school. I attend college on Tuesday and Thursday, and the other days are for formal education at my former high school. At school, I study English, history, maths, commerce, Ndebele, which is his native language, geography, science, and computers. I had to redo these subjects as I did not pass them in 2019. At college, I'm in my third year and am waiting to write my final year examinations this year. During my welding course, I have acquired skills in making metal fabrication. This process includes cutting, burning, welding, machining, forming, and assembling to create the final product. For example, chairs, burglars' bars, you know, security bars on a window, window frames, door frames, bins, play sets, and sliding gates. I've also discovered that I have a talent in upholstery, and I've been repairing sofas and chairs at KCB. My ambition are to establish my own workshop and a construction company. KCB has provided me with a family, shelter, and mostly helped me to release the goodness of God in my life. KCB is currently helping me to acquire a birth and an ID, an identity, so that I can be able to write my examinations. See, one of the hard things is if you're going to sit an exam, you've got to identify yourself. And many of these kids who are abandoned have no identity. And that becomes a first order blockage in their education. I wish that KCB Workshop could have additional tools of welding and upholstery so that I could help teach some of my young brothers and sisters at KCB who have interest. They could benefit a lot, and I also can continue to perfect my talents. Now, that's a story that can be told over and over again, including the kids you've been supporting, kids who through the care and love of KCV have flourished. We are in conversation with KCV about how we support transitions out of KCV. We want to do that in the context of KCV's work. And so KCV guides us in this. Zimbabwe, the situation in Zimbabwe is pretty grim. High levels of unemployment, those people who are employed don't receive the income, it just stays as an obligation, the income that they're promised. It is a very complex environment to operate in. And we rely on the wisdom and grace of KCV and Mrs. Verma, who's the manager of the program, the director of the program, to guide us. But, you know, looking at that field of beans, I don't know about you, but I'd be proud if I could produce that. And the kids, that's actually a picture from the Christmas lunch that was provided through the relationship we have with KCV. In South Sudan, we're working on a peace project. This is a peace club in a school. The church, little church in Juba, got this idea that they needed to do something about the warring factions in South Sudan. Two groups that have been for years and years and years, in a complex relationship with each other. And this church in Juba, I had to be translated into two languages. So it was a very slow sermon, quite long. And they decided that they would launch a peace club and bring the Nui and the Dinka kids together. And Colin Scott, who directs this program for GMP, was in South Sudan, and he took this photo. And just before he took it, he said, I'd like to, those who are in the belly to put the hand, it's not in the belly, that's Zimbabwe. Those who are Dinka to put their hands up, and those who are Nui to put their hands up. So he wanted to get a sense of where they were from. And no one put their hands up. And they said, we no longer worry about whether we're Dinka or Nui, we're South Sudanese. Little things have the potential to make a long-term difference. Peace in South Sudan. Lakshmi in India, when I was there just recently, my first visit, I visited her and I heard the story of the change in her life. She was given some skills in tailoring. She started to be able to earn an income. Her husband recognized her as of value. Now, you've got to understand Indian culture on gender and marriage is very complex. Understood that she had value to him and their family, and the abuse ended. I was completely taken aback in the interview. I was videoing the interview with her permission. And all of a sudden we're in this story with tears. And she said, my life has just changed. My husband has stopped drinking. He stopped beating me because now I have value. Now, we'd like to think the value came out of who a person is. But in this particular environment, the value was because she was no longer dependent on him. This was the most surprising. She was married at 14. She's 22 with three kids. Very vulnerable, living in a slum community. Bangladesh Community Sustainability Program, putting toilets in place where there's no sanitation. Very simple system. And the key partner behind all of this is here, Vana Boam, who leads the program, both the sanitation and the community sustainability program, and also the life of the churches. Debt and Community Center. I know this doesn't look, there's no people in it, but I've got to tell you, an elderly couple in one of our churches heard this story and donated the money to put a ceiling in this workshop. You can't see it, but up there, those are galvanized iron walls. And it was an open galvanized iron workshop. And Dareton near Mildura does get a little hot in summer. And this was an oven. And a simple thing has transformed it. Now, who uses the center? Indigenous kids, late primary school. The focus is these kids because they are in a school that's almost 100% Indigenous. And when they go to high school, they go to the Kumiala area school, which is only 30% Indigenous, and encounter racism. Because when you're 90% of the primary school population, you just accept it. And so this is a community project, an outreach project for kids to give them a safe place to continue to be in all the transitions in life. An old petrol station that's been renovated. And you know what's nice is we actually want the best for these kids. We could have said, oh, they don't need it. They won't know the difference. But we actually want the best for these kids, not, what do you say, the worst or the least. This is change, isn't it? It's good news, isn't it? You saw in the video baptisms, worship services. You saw some jigging around in Fiji and Zimbabwe. The oldest women dance in worship in Zimbabwe. The dance is not what the young people do. So the oldest women started off and then others follow into it. The Christian faith is alive and rich and wonderful. And we have this amazing privilege to bring change together. And we try to do it with just a hint of the pattern of Jesus, who stops and listens to the traveler, the travelers, and opens up their ideas and insight. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you that you invite us to meet you, and you invite us to meet you at the Lord's table. We thank you that you listen to us in all our uncertainties and in all the ways that we struggle in life. We thank you don't give up on us. And Lord, we do pray for grace and blessing for the people we've heard about this morning, the people of this church. May we be listeners to you and listeners to each other, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.